for releasing us into your anointing. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you because we are dwelling in the overflow of your spirit, the overflow of your love, the overflow of your anointing, of your grace, of your empowerment. Father, we thank you. We bless you, O Lord. Jehovah, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful church you have given to us. We thank you for the beautiful people you've given to us. We thank you because your word is growing in our lives. We thank you. We bless your holy name. We thank you for where we have come from. Lord, we thank you for being with us all the way. We ask, oh God, for your continuous empowerment and anointing and grace. Thank you for blessing us. Indeed, we are a blessed church, a blessed people. We thank you. Once again, Lord, we commit this service to your hands. We ask, oh God, that you instruct us, that you teach us, cause us to hear your voice. Above all, let us evaluate ourselves in the light of your word tonight, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for those who have come to hear your word, Lord. I ask, oh God, that you embrace them this night. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please let me welcome your brother and your sister to church tonight. Amen. Let me appreciate Inspire. Amen. Thank you very much. I have to make a fresh start. We got to ST and I don't know what happened. Yeah, we couldn't get to ART. So I think I need to share that with you so that we have a rounded message. And please, I want to say this. Everything you hear in church is for you to implement. I'm an apostle by calling. Fact of the matter is that I'm not a pastor, right? I'm an apostle by calling. What does an apostle do? An apostle builds, lay foundations, build foundations, raise people, develop people. That is what an apostle does. It's good that we understand these things so you know how to connect with, right? How to identify with the gifts in your house. So, when I say I'm not a pastor, it doesn't mean that I'm not a caring person. There are two things. I'm talking about the fivefold ministry. Maybe sometime this year, we need to talk about the fivefold ministry. So you know what God has called you to be and to do. It's very important. When you know what God has called you to be and to do, or if you know what God has called you to be, you will know what you need to do. Does that make sense? And it will also help you define a lot of things about yourself. So, as a church member, right? This is the kind of house where everything that is spoken is for implementation. That means that as an apostle, whenever I'm teaching or I'm preaching, it's because I have a defined end in mind. So an apostle is designed to move someone from here to here. So an apostolic anointing is all about movement. It's all about change. So if all the messages here, get the messages, please sit down, listen to them, internalize them, use them. Whenever you hear me preach, always ask yourself, how can I use this? How can I use this? Everything I talk about, there are always practical steps to take. So there must be steps. You must constantly make progressive steps. Amen? So it doesn't matter how big or small the steps are. The fact is that you should always be progressing. That is the sign of a blessed man, a blessed woman. You're always progressing spiritually, physically. So you're always doing something to move forward. We're never there yet. We get there the day we die. Amen? So we're always doing something to move forward in every area of your lives. And the word of God is there to empower you. Now, I will say something about the word of God. The word of God itself is you hear me say it over and over again, is a self-executable program. All right? So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The Spirit of God, how did the Bible put it again? The testimonies of the Lord Jesus Christ is the sure word of what? Prophecy. So it means that the word of God itself, the word of God you hear, whether you believe it or not, it may sound like, what I like about the word is that, it may sound like, oh yeah, I already know that. But that thing is a spiritual virus. It locks itself in your spirit. One day, right? It's like a dormant cell.
One day, not cancerous cell, not that kind of cell, but it's like a spiritual cell. One day, it will hear the voice of God and it will get activated. Does that make sense? That's why we say, always deposit the word of God in your spirit. Give something for the Holy Ghost to activate. Have yourself loaded up in the world. So to make it easier for you, there's no better. We say, my sheep hear my voice. So all your pastor is a vehicle to make all those things happen for you. Amen. And there's no better place to be than an apostolic house. I'm telling you. Yeah, we do the past. You know, so the way our apostolic house is, this is how you do our apostolic house. It's a pastoral house. You say, when you're going to say, oh, sorry. Oh, sit down. Oh, sorry. And the pastor comes and says, oh, sorry. Plus the pastor, plus the sheep. Oh, sorry. That's the pastor for you. 5 years time. Oh, sorry. Two of them are there. What does an apostle do? Ah, it happened to you. Oh, sorry. What do? You set him on his way. You pent him, you beg him. Are you strong now? Yeah? Yeah? Any problem? He said, no, okay. Go. Always on the move, always going somewhere. Amen. He won't stay there. He won't stay in a place of pity and swallow and everything and not do anything for the next 5 years. See the difference? So next time somebody pets you too much, it's okay now. Yeah, because your destiny can be grounded in pity. And to be pitied is so nice. What is a good party? And never mistake pity for love. Do you understand? Pity looks, never mistake pity for love. You know you can correct in love, but you can't pity in love. You can instruct in love. So, you know, love, words can be harsh, but they can be spoken in love. You get my point? But not pity. Pity can ground you. Pity can ground you. Anyway, so, what did I say was the first S? God bless you, you remembered. Hey, yeah. Stop. This year, as an individual, you, no excuses. I was sharing with somebody today on I was one of the business coaches. Today, coaches want today. I told the person, I said, listen, there are two types of people in the world. I learned this from a business coach as well. And ladies said that there are two types of people in the world. Those who are 2% and those who are 98%. They said 2% of the world population control 98% of the world resources. And they said the 98% and the 2%, they all have a profile. When you see someone, yeah, it's versus either a 2% or a 98%. The 2% knows how to do, the 98% knows how to do one thing very well. Make excuses. They make excuses. The 2% never make excuses. And that's the reason why they control 98% of the world's resources. So I said, in this line of work, I was telling her, we're not looking for 98%. They want one thing: pity. You pity them, you feel sorry for them, you engage them, you love them, and then you leave them alone. I said, but if you want to make progress in life, you look for like-minded people like yourself who are what? The 2%. You will never need to encourage the 2%. The 2% never make excuses. They find out what's wrong, right? And they avoid it next time. If they can fix it, they fix it. If they cannot fix it, they avoid it next time. The 2% in life are always progressive. So this year, we are not making excuses. Amen. We've had testimonies upon testimonies. We see there's power in the house. There's an anointing in the house of God. We have done 21 days fast. What other fast do you want us to call again? We broke either 3 or 6 o'clock in the evening. So testimonies are coming in. So what is the problem? What is the problem? What is it that can stop you from becoming what God has planned for you to do this year? What is it? I can tell you what that limitation is in your mind. It's not with God. It's not with God. There's no reason why we should not have happy homes this year. There's no reason why our children should not be happy and excited this year. There's been no reason why we've heard testimonies about our children in the house. Amen. The testimonies you hear in the house tells you what is available spiritually. There's no reason why your home should not be fired up in love this year. No reason. There's no reason why you should not be full of faith this year. There's no reason why you should not be full of the Spirit this year. There's no reason. There's no reason why you should not make progressive steps this year. There's no reason. There's no reason. But only one thing is required. Don't ever settle for excuse this year. That's why we say, set goals, set your goals, set your goals. Believe God for something. Set your goals and tie a scripture to your goals. Don't set big goals. I'm going to Jupiter. I'm going to Mars. No. Set goals, and the secret is you set your goal, make sure every goal is traceable to a scripture. That's the difference between motivational speaking and Bible speak. Don't just set goals. Set goals and trace. You must see your goal in scripture. So, this is my goal. Why? Show me. You see how to make goals work, right? This is my goal. Okay, why is it your goal? Because according to Jeremiah chapter this by verse this, it says this, so I can have this. That's a goal. That's a goal. Yeah, that's a goal. Any goal that is not traceable to a scripture is not, when the devil attacks it, there's no basis for it. So we set goals and attach scriptures to them. And then when we are praying, we are not praying those goals, we are praying what? We are praying the scriptures. So also, you see how God answers prayer. So you can see someone crying, "Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, oh, God, can't you see? Oh, Lord, oh." That is not prayer. Oh, God, help me is not prayer. Crying is not prayer. Crying, I've always said it, crying doesn't move God. What moves God is, you know, God and his word, they are one. What moves God is his word. Your understanding. So as you are crying, make sure you keep one eye clean and keep one eye on the scriptures. So that's how to cry. Make sure the right eye is on the scripture. I've seen this one. Lord, in the name of Jesus. According to then your spirit man is fired up. Then when God hears that, he will send Angel Michael. He will send Angel Gabriel. That's what we call miracle. Have a goal that is backed by the scripture, by the word of God. So, no excuses, please. No excuses. Help me tell your neighbor, I must make it. No, say it very loud now. I can't shout very well. I must make it. Praise the Lord. What was the T again? Take an inventory. How many of you have taken an inventory? So, am I in your inventory? Am I? I should be in your inventory. Yeah. I'm one of your assets. Take inventory. You've not thought about that? I'm one of your assets. Your access to me is one of your assets. Amen. What's in your inventory? I must be there. You're not your bank manager. No. I have to be there as your inventory. As your spiritual house is one of your assets. This house is an asset base. This house is loaded with people. Loaded with people from different backgrounds, different cultures. This house will educate you more than any college will ever educate you. It doesn't look like it. You know why? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 people here on this side alone. Do you know what? Do you know the combined years of experience they are all sitting on individually? Think about it. If you sum up their ages, we almost look like Methuselah. Okay, only Bosu alone is almost materialized. Okay. No, seriously. No, let me tell you something. Many of us don't know how to make progress in life. You start from count your assets, take stock. Who do you know? Who do you have? Look around you. I'm telling you, there is no problem you will ever have. Let me take this group for example. There is no problem you will ever have. That by the time you talk to Bosun, Lane, their database, and you talk to every single person here, you talk to Tina, talk to you, still talk to Tayo, there's no way you can come up with something. So in other words, actually, you don't even need a brain. Think about it. No, it's serious. I run this job without a brain. Let's be fine. Femi, what were we talking about when we were coming in this thing? What were we talking about? Yes, grab the microphone. No, I'm going to, this practical Christians, let's, yeah, what are we talking about?
Hello?
Yeah?
We're talking about the anniversary coming up, mm-hmm. And how we could use social media to advertise and promote.
What is it we're going to do?
We'll split the church into four, have a competition, for how we can promote, who can promote the most, and
Okay. So what is my business when God has given me an asset base of people around me? I mean, oh Lord, what can we do now? Oh Lord, what's that? What is that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You ask. God has. The Bible says He set the lonely in families. This is your church. The local church is powerful. See, from local church. Let me just look. By the time when you take stock, number one stock is your spiritual heritage. That's the first asset you have, your spiritual heritage, your exposure to the world. Then you take natural stock. Look at everybody around you. That's your asset. Anything you want to do this year, you want to thank God for, where you want God to break through for you, it's already in the house. Are you listening? There's nothing coming from, there's nothing. God, I say God is the one who's going to break through for you, but God is not coming. God is here. He said that Psalm 46, he said he's your ever-present help. He's your ever-present help. So that means that right now, he's present, right? And he's already here to help you. But he's in your neighbor, sitting next to you. God gave me this revelation many years ago in 1997, and I started ruling my life with the source of our wealth today came from this understanding that God is in people. God is in people. I can walk past you and hear what God is asking me to do from your very own mouth. We've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because he's not God. He says, my ways are not your ways. So the greatest thing you want to do is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because he's already here. He's around you. And he can speak to a donkey. So take stock. That's what I mean by take stock. What do you have to make this year happen? Take stock. What do you have in terms of competencies? Take stock. What skill set do you need to develop and who has it? Take stock. Take stock. Who can help you? Take stock. Some people are so skilled in one area of their lives, and in that area of their life, you are rubbish. All you need to do is to hook up with them, and they are quite happy to bless you with what they know. Take stock. Now, some people are very happy doing certain things. For them, it's a hobby. They don't pray. They can close their eyes and do those things for you. But that thing is a nightmare for you. Take stock. That's how we do it. That's how we make God come through for us. God is already here. He said, where two or three of you are gathered together, he said, I am there. So, oh God, come. He said, I'm here. What do you want me to do for you? But the problem is that we are still expecting the Messiah. We are still expecting solution. He said, I'm here. You join hands. Think about it. Okay. He said, where two or three of us? Well, let us pray. Let's pray about this issue. He said, when you pray in my name, right? He said, I'm here. But where is he? Is he a ghost? Where is he? He's in all of you put together. So that's why every time you pray, this is how to solve a problem in life. When you find a body of believers whose hearts are connected with yours, right? After prayers, ask each other, so what do we do? That's why if you look at the book of Acts, after they've prayed, they now say, so how do we do this? They say, well, let us cast lot. Isn't it? Exactly. Listen very carefully. Every time you pray in the name of Jesus, at that very hour, he releases wisdom for you. But what we do is that we join our hands, right? We pray. But instead of asking, so what do you think? So and we pray again tomorrow morning. And then you walk away. We never wait to collect anything. We never wait to collect anything. We are so used to prayers. We never train ourselves to receive from the Lord. We train ourselves to ask of the Lord. We never train ourselves to receive from the Lord. My greatest challenge as a pastor in this church, the first 3 years, it was a nightmare. Just asking people, you know, I used to tell them, I said, look, my friend, I'm so skilled, I'm so gifted. I want to bless you with my giftings. They found it so tough to receive giftings from. I still remember. They find it so tough because they are so used to giving. Now you find it, just say, well, come and take. It's a lie. Remember one of those parties we used to throw in those days? They won't eat. they won't come. They were not used to receiving things from the church of God. They were not used to receiving. They were used to giving. I'm telling you. So we find somebody. I said, you want to do a business? Okay. I said, come. Okay, I'm your pastor, right? I said, but I'm very skilled. I can help you. Come, let me help you. You have to go and beg them. I said, it's pastor. Oh, yeah, it's pastor, but I can help you. Let me help you. They'll be looking at you. So because of church, pastor, and help does not. It's a church pastor means take. Means collect. How many of you are with me tonight? So what do you do? What do you do? T is for what? So S is for what? Stop making excuses. T is for what? What about A? Guess what A is? You should know now. Hmm? Act in faith. Action. You see that coming. You act in faith. You act in faith. We act in faith. We forget yesterday. We act in faith. We act in faith. If you want to change your life, change your circumstance, you act in faith. Act in faith. To change your personality, act in faith. Act in faith. What stops us from acting in faith is yesterday's success or failure. Many of us, you know, I'm guilty of that. You say, yeah, so the devil takes advantage of that. You never forget anything. So it brings up to your remembrance all the time. You know? You need to act in faith. Act in faith. Do something new by faith. Act in faith. You step up by faith. When will you? You see, I said something on Saturday, the workshop we had. I said, we're going to have a David Empowerment Foundation. We're going to liberate the world through skills, eliminating poverty through skills development. And I was going on and on and on and on. So one guy came to me. I think it's like Shegun, Adetumobi. He said, Shola. He said, Pastor, this website is only 6 days old. I said, yeah. He said, but you just registered the website. I said, yes. So he couldn't reconcile my speech and the website. And so when I go home, I think it was Bosu was asking, so Pastor, so what's the plan? I said, I don't know. What's the plan? I don't know what the plan is. But I'm not going to sit down here and not take a step of faith and be waiting to collect all their plans, write them down, print them out, you know, stereotype them. You know, many of you, your plans are so well documented. You know, in fact, you want to wait. Every day you wake up, you polish the eye, you dot it up, bam. Then look at the T, say, the T is where, you write the T in calligraphy, you like the T in italics, you write it in, what is that? You want to wait until you a perfect weather before you step out. You will never step out. I want to eliminate global poverty through development of skills. I'm going to do it. I've been talking about it for the past 10 days now. So what are you doing? I don't know. So I came to church. So how many of you can design a website? Yeah, Julia says she can design a website. Okay, that's one. What's asset one? Who else again? That's asset two. Are you going to help me? Are you going to help me design something? Yeah, Pastor, I'm very busy. Please now. Okay, I'm begging you. Okay, I'll buy your daughter. I will buy your son biscuits. Yeah, please, I know you are very busy. Help me now. Yeah. I call. I say, you know how to install WordPress? He say yes. How long? How many minutes? 20 minutes. You must do it. So I don't have any begging. Amen. What am I saying? You step out. Many of us are waiting for perfect weather. You don't do that. You take that scripture and step out in faith. Forget your limitations. Your God will help you. Forget your limitations. Don't do analysis paralysis. You know, you sit down and you think about everything that you are going to do and how you are going to do it. You say, my goodness, that's hard. So you step out. That's what Jesus, the Bible told, that's what Jesus told, the Lord told the Israelites. He said, step into the Jordan. Step in, you and the ark of the covenant and all of you. He said, you step in. He said, but it's not dry. He said, I know, but step in. Step in, you give it a shot. I'll meet you halfway. You step in. What are you going to do? Are you willing to see it dry first before you step in? Then that's not faith anymore. Master bid me to come. He said, come. Wow. And we saw the, when we went to Israel last month, or this month, we saw the river. Is it a sea? The Sea of Galilee. We saw it. Amazing. I said, this is where Jesus walked on water. My goodness, he's still here. You know? If you want to change anything in your life, it takes faith. Matthew 9, he said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. According to your faith, what do you see about your family, please? According to your faith, it will be done for you. Ignore what you see, ignore what you hear. Believe what God says about what you believe. Amen. So that means that we get out of life at times what we expect. What are you expecting? Yesterday is gone. This is today. This year has just started. Forget what happened yesterday. Forget that you believed yesterday didn't come to pass. Today is another day. Amen. We believe God for it. Come on. Let's get going. We believe God. We'll be excited. We believe God. I needed something from one colleague in the U.S., you know, on a subject matter. So it was forgetting that he's in Central Time. So around 1 o'clock, which would be like 6 o'clock his time, is it? 7, yeah. So I sent him a message. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Mayday, mayday, mayday. The guy, by the time he came back online around 2 hours, he said, Eddie, he said, everything is not big deal in life, you know. I said, for me, it is. I was bumping my jaw. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you get going. Life can be exciting. Forget yesterday. It's useless. Unfortunately, we still live in the same environment. We still married to the same people. We still have the same children. Go to the same environment. But it's different. Today before God is different. Tomorrow will be different. Your test is to condition yourself to believe him for now and the future. That's faith. What do you want to do? Start now and try it and give it a shot and do it. Those who try and didn't make it, they are more blessed than those weaklings who stay on the ring side and never do anything. Take a punch. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we read in Acts 3, chapter 3, verse 5, 1 to 5. You know the scripture. There's no point reading it. The Bible says that the man expected something of Peter and John. Expect something. So we have to have an expectation of our Peter. If you don't have any expectation, your Peter will not materialize. Have an expectation. I'm telling you, have an expectation. Jesus, the Bible honors expectation. It says what? What it says, and your expectation will not be what? Cut off. Your expectation is your zeal, is your goal. What do you see happening to you? I expect good things to happen to me this year. What about you? I expect great things to happen to my family. I expect great things to happen to this church. I expect the members of this church to be the best wherever they go. That has always been my heart desire. I want quality. I want God to use quality to decorate the destiny of our church members. It's happening. Do you know that when people leave us, then they migrate to another country, do you know for almost a year they can't settle down? For almost a year they can't settle down. Do you know, you try and live here, you will never know how much your life has changed. You try and relate with your peers. And so there's so much grace being pumped into you by virtue of prayer. That's my expectation. I expect that come rain or shine, that the members of this household that God has blessed us to look after, they will prosper beyond all odds. That's my expectation. And God has always honored it from day one. That's my expectation. I expect that our children in this church will be the best award-winning children. My goodness, they'll be sound in school, sound in character, sound in mindset, sound in skill set. Our children. That's my expectation. Before the church started, I was praying. I said, Lord, I said, I want the best of the best in the marketplace to be our junior church handlers. Praise the Lord. So when they are missing to them from the market. Not So turn your Bibles to you see, and so the lizard and the monkey and the tortoise. What is that? Yeah, I say, so, yes, what is that? You see the person handling the junior church. You say, class, say, Jesus. That's utter rubbish. Not in this church. I'm not knocking anything, but what I'm trying to say is that sometimes when you see junior church, it's like it's just a place where you dump the children so they do not disturb the main service. Not here. It's a proper church, and the best looks after them. That was my expectation. Which Afro-Caribbean city do you have a service and children are lined up reading their books like that? Where? Tell me. That's an expectation. Not because they want to, because they were prayed to. What's your expectation? Please. Your expectation will never be cut off. God will honor your expectation. God will honor your expectation. When God is done, your expectation will be met. When God is done, we bought this building by faith, with expectation that when the time to collide with the council, he will come and rescue us. And he has! His building is a testimony. You can't have a building and not have a permit. Expectation. That's one thing. What's your expectation? Let your expectation be based on the world and not your experience or feelings. Action of faith. Are we blessed tonight? So that means that to act in faith, it means no pity party. Let no man pity you. Bad things happen to good people, but God is still in charge. Come on, I say bad things happen to good people, but God is still in charge. Let no man pity me. Don't pity me. Help me, but don't pity me. Help me, but don't pity me. Imagine if I'm broke, right? And then you come, sorry. How is it doing? You say, I'm hungry. Sorry. God will provide. I'm coming. That is pity. Don't pity me. Help me, but don't pity me. Don't pity me. Because my God was standing by, watching me when whatever is happening to me is happening to me. If you are going to help me, but don't pity me. Sorry. Yeah, tears, fiber, rub your eyes. he said, are you still crying? He said, maybe that fiber is not enough. Here is a tenner. I said, okay. From so many, it turned to, are you still sniffing? I said, okay. Follow me, let's go and eat. From crying. Oh, praise God. Let's go out for a meal. Help me, don't pity me. Don't let anybody pity you. Only your God. That's why David said, he said, I'd rather fall into the hand of God than the hand of man. True or false? Exactly. So please, take action and act in faith. Act in faith. Faith is not so much as the absence of fear. But whatever you are afraid of, it doesn't discount it. Whatever you are afraid of, discount it. Discount it. Discount whatever you are afraid of. And fear can be very interesting. Fear is a spirit. We just have to learn to deal with that spirit. Fear of success, fear of failure. You know, there's fear of success. You know, I have. There's fear. Look, fear from fear. Fear can attack you from anywhere. You can be successful and be afraid. You can be successful and be afraid. I'm always afraid to preach. I hate presentations. Can't stand it. Cannot. Don't look like it. I can't. We have a business presentation we do every Tuesday. You know, the more we sell, the more they want to put support. I hate it. I have begged them. Please, this is one thing about this I don't like it. Don't call me. My best part, I like to come in and sneak in and sit at the back there. Anyway, and then go away later. I don't want to get, you know, I'll do my things quietly and go away. But no, the more you hide, the more God, every Sunday, from the walk of my office to this pulpit here, it's always like this leg is like a log of wood. Like I'm dragging the leg, always petrified, every Sunday. And the devil will remind you, you're going to goof now. I won't goof in the name of Jesus. I will speak. Yeah, look at you. You can preach. I know I can't preach, but Jesus is here. Every 10 years. Wrestling anxiety and fear. Every Sunday. But am I going to sit down in my office and say, Pastor, are you coming? No. Am I going to do that? No. If I will die, let me die here. Sometimes, when I just got started, I would come with two vests. You know, but my fringe service, and then I'll go and change the other vest, put in the other armored tank vest. So it sweats. By the time I get to my office, go home, you need a mop. mop the sweat off the floor. You see me in my family, you see me nervous all the time. But you can do all you want to do, you know. I tell you what happened on Saturday. After I'm making all that ranting, I said, we are going to do global this and global that and this is it. On my way home, the devil was telling me, it's not going to happen. You can't do it. The website will not work. This will not work. I said, it will work. God, get it behind me, you Satan, devil. It will work. So I got on a level of the website. It was crashed. I said, my goodness. So I called the boss. I said, boss, the devil has struck. He's been telling me he's coming. He's insanity. I said, he was talking to me in the car. He said he was going to attack the website. He attacked this. Boss, it's not working. Check. Call America. Call a lawyer. Call this one. Send an email. Send a text. But after that wrestle, I'll stick it up and go. We advance in spite of our fears, my folks. We advance in spite of our fears, our worry, our concern. We advance. We can never get rid of fear. It's the devil. As long as you are alive, he has a voice. It is his right to tell you what he wants to tell you. It's also your right to reply. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, what's R? We have S is for what? Stop making excuses. T? Take what? Take an inventory. Yeah, take stock, take an inventory. Yeah? What else again? A? Act in faith. Do not be judgmental. Act in faith. What's the next one? A. R. Refocus your mind. Refocus your thoughts. The devil will want to take your thoughts away. Refocus. That's why you must meditate on the word of God day and night. It helps you refocus. Don't fight small battles. Refocus. Don't fight small battles. The devil will want you to get involved in petty things. Don't succumb to them. Refocus. Refocus on your life. But what's the best thing to focus on? The word of God. Amen? Refocus on the word of God. Right? Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It says, be careful what you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts, so the Bible says. Amen? So the way you think determines the way you feel. The way you feel determines the way you act. You know, so refocus. Refocus. What has God said about this matter? Focus. What has God said about this matter? Focus. Amen. Bring yourself back to in alignment to what God has in stock for you. Avoid distraction. Don't fight small fights. Many of us, we get involved in little fights and petty fights. Something that are totally irrelevant. at home in our families. We got involved in little fights. Let me tell you something. The home is your strongest fortress. Your home. Strongest fortress. If the devil is going to deal with you, he will deal with you from home. He will rock your crib. He will rock your crib. Make sure your crib is not rocked. Make sure. Amen. So you refocus. Don't fight. Don't fight small fights. Don't do small talk. Small talk is very bad in the house. Any home that focuses on small talks, you know, there are some homes that just do small talks, you know. Is that sister? Is that brother? Is that pastor? Is that minister? Is that... There's nothing else to do. If there's something else to do, then go and do something. Go and get a job in Tesco if you have so much energy. You know? He says this one, this. And any home, make sure in your home you never have conversation about third parties. That's where demonic things infiltrate that home. Keep your house pure. No small talk. Talk about yourself. Talk about your spouse. Talk about your children. Talk about where you are going to. That's what we do in our home. Talk about achievement. Talk about what you plan to achieve. There's so much progressive things to talk about. Where is the fight from? Where do you end up fighting? Fighting what? They say fight the devil. You're not fighting the devil. Is it the children and God and spouse that God has given you are fighting? What is that? Eh? Talk back. Yeah, we say beat the devil. Don't go and beat. Don't go and be beating Bola. Why you be beating Bola for? What is that? Eh? You see, yes, I. No, but let me ask her. Leave the children alone. Go fight them. Go take on your mate. Beat the devil. Isn't it? Why you see some homes are so tensed up? Everything we just start fighting. What are you fighting for? What is this now? Within the grand scheme of things, what has this thing got to do with the destiny of this family now? Tell me. And you are fighting. And you know one funny thing? Most of the things they fight about, the reason they fight is not even in that home. The reason why they are fighting is not even resting in that home. You are fighting about what your mother said or what your father said or what your auntie said. The auntie is not even in the house. You see the spirit of discord? Chase the spirit of discord out of your home. That's one of my family and I, our strongest point. We don't have time. We don't have time. You want to be fighting about what one uncle said or what one auntie said or what one, even your mother, what your mother said. Whatever. Is it your mother's house? Is it your father's house? Is it your mother's house? You keep the in-laws out of the house. Outlaw the in-laws. Make that home. I'm serious. Outlaw the in-laws. Keep your home a sanctuary for you and children and your God-given family. You don't have time to start analyzing thoughts. Your own thoughts, you've not finished analyzing it. You're not analyzing third-party thoughts, interest, and focus. If you remove third-party interest from your home, it turns to heaven. You wake up in the morning and say, Angela, I love you. I told you I love you more. No, Angela, I love you. No. Seriously, told you. Don't know how much I love you. Oh, Angela, I'm telling you. Isn't it my angel? I say, I'll see you later tonight, I'll see you later. Is that not the home that God has given them? Your sister said this, no, your auntie said this, your brother said this, no, your uncle said this, before you know this, they start swimming over the piece of meat. Remove, ask all everybody. He said, as for me and my house. So purge all third-party transactions from your house. Write a voucher and reverse all of them. Are you listening? I'm telling you, we need that this year. We need that this year. You know why? Because after God has broken through for you, you can go and be trying to open the wrong door. God breaks through on this door. Because you are busy distracting yourself, you'll be trying to knock that door down. So refocus. Refocus. Refocus your children. Refocus your children. Many of us get so distracted at home when our kids are in the children are in the midst of making important decisions as to what to do or what not to do, or they are being influenced. Do you know that kids get influenced by kids? One day your son or your little boy or your little girl will come back home with a bad habit. First time, you can't spot it. You can't spot it. Because you are so consumed thinking about what that auntie said I didn't say. Can't say, ah! You say, why are you saying that? Some kids, watch. One day your son or your daughter is always sharp. Come home, one new friend joins the class. She gets back home, she starts slowing her word. Nah, man. Say, why are you talking like this? Nah, man, that's before you went to school, you were not talking like this. What is this? Why? Because that new kid just joined the class and is new, can't get his act together, and that's how the kid talks. And if your daughter looks at that and says, that's cool. And then guess what? And says, brother, why are you talking like this now? I thought we went past this stage 2 weeks ago. Which was now? Influence. We are all constantly being influenced, including you. So refocus. It's very easy to get distracted just like that. 1 millisecond, that's it. Amen. So what else again? What's the other one? That's the last one, isn't it? Okay, that one is a very easy one. What do you think it is? Eh? What? Thanksgiving? No. No. So the first one is what? Take stock. No, stop making excuses. 2. So what should follow then? Okay. You should trust God. There's a prophetic word over your head, and that is God will break through for you. God will break through for you, and it will be His breakthrough. Can you trust God? Trust God to help you succeed. Depend on God. You don't need to depend on yourself. Trust God. Trust God. See, many of us never get this bit, you know. There's still something about us that want to rely on ourselves and the things, our 5 senses. But faith, trust God. Trust God. Trust God with your life. Trust God with your finances. Trust God with your emotions. Right? Trust the Lord with your emotions. Trust the Lord. He will come through. He will come through for you. Learn to rest on what God has said. Seriously. We should learn to trust God. The fact of the matter is that the average Christian does not really trust God. We don't trust God. We don't trust God because we don't believe God can do what He says He will do. We don't trust God because we can't see God. But faith requires you to trust, put your trust in what God has spoken, what God has said, what you have read in Scripture. That is trust. Trust God with your finances. How do I trust God with my finances? In your tithe, in your offering. Trust God with your skill set. How do you do that? By serving. Serve people around you. At work, serve people around you. Trust God. Trust God. God will do what He says He will do for you. You may not see it immediately, but it doesn't mean that He's not working. So I trust God. I trust God that He will grow you. I trust God that He will bless you. I trust God that He will help you. I trust God that He will support you. I trust God to support you. Amen. You need to trust God. Let's rise to our feet as we pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Lord, we've come to you tonight. We thank you for this teaching. Holy Spirit, we pray. We yield ourselves to you. Lord, we've shared a lot of things about ourselves here tonight. We've been open and honest before you because we trust that you will heal us. You will help us. You will help us stay strong. We cannot do this here ourselves, but we trust in you. We trust in the prophetic word that you have spoken over us. We trust in all the words of encouragement and the people that you have placed around us. Lord, we ask for the grace to stop making excuses and to trust you. Lord, we ask, O God, that you strengthen us in the place of faith. Father, we thank you. Lord, we ask, God, that you open our eyes to the assets, the human assets, the community assets you have given to us. Help us, grant us wisdom to leverage the things around us, the people around us, the friends around us, the family around us. Help us, oh God, to utilize the love of the people you've placed around us. Father, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. We give you all the glory. Help us to refocus. Help us to avoid distractions, Father. Help us to focus on the family, the nuclear family you've given to us, our spiritual family you've given to us. Help us to focus on your word. Father, we thank you. Above all, we thank you, Lord, for this church. We thank you because you've placed us in a place where your word dwells, where your word comes to life. We give you all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated. It's offering time.